family, you've taken this time today out of the schedule of issues of your life, and you have come here because your life has been enriched by Linsong. Family will treasure each and every comment that is made, each and every hug that is given, every pat on the back, and so thank you so much for being here today. Let's pray. Our dear merciful God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to share life, to share community, to share experiences and stories. The very life that you have given us and the very way in which you receive us is powerful and expressed in the life of a people, a family, of friends, of acquaintances, of co-workers and co-students. We find ourselves enriched, Lord, by the goodness and grace you give to us in one another. And so we are here to celebrate your child. We are here, Father, in recognition of her great joy of dancing with the King. Even now as we gather, she is in adoration. So, Lord God, with your Spirit, comfort nonetheless those who hurt and those who are experiencing loss and pain at a significant and profound level. And in your timing, begin to speak hope. This we ask in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You have on the cover of the program that you were given this morning an ordered picture by Lynn. As we talked about this service with her and the things that she wanted in it, she was unequivocally sure that there was to be no rendering of Amazing Grace at all. Bagpipes or not. And that this was to be, in essence, a celebration. And she had picked a particular song that is rooted in a passage from the prophet Isaiah. Let me read that passage to you. Lift your eyes and look into the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired or weary, and his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those whose hope is in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Would you stand with me this morning? We are going to sing. You may not know it, but you can catch on to it. You can always hum the last line or two. But this is specifically a song requested, The Everlasting God. Thank you. seated. Lynn Anson of Danville died on April 25th, 2010, on a Sunday morning, even as those in this congregation she loved had gathered to worship. She was worshiping in the most ultimate sense. She is survived by her son Jeffrey, daughter Marissa, her former husband Andrew, and her mother Noel Hind of Carmichael, brothers Lee Hind of Elk Grove, Jay Hind, Lori of Redding, and sister Lori LeCour, Mike of O'Fallon. His names are vital. His names are key. She leaves six nieces and two nephews, Lila and Molly Hind, Garrett and Megan Hind, Emily LeCour, and Vivian and Emmy Sohn, and daughters Rich Sohn and Susan, and I'm going to mess this one up, Lee, how does it go? Thank you. And Jason Sohn, son of Ed and Shannon Sohn, and her other mother. Vivian Sohn of Redmond, Washington. And she was preceded in death by her father, Donald Hind, and her father-in-law, Jung Hai Sohn. And she was born on January 15th in Bowling Green, Ohio, in 1960. And she was educated in Bowling Green schools until she moved to California with her family in 1973. And she graduated from Rio Americano High School and entered Lewis and Clark College in Portland. And after a year there, she returned to enter CSUS, where she majored in Management Information Systems. And after graduation, she moved to the East Bay to work for Bechtel Corporation and enjoyed several years of world travel for work. Her curiosity and energy enabled her to make things happen. One of her closest friends in high school suffered from cystic fibrosis, and Lynn became conversant with those experts who treated her friend and decided that the kids with CF in Northern California needed a summer camp, so she organized it. She staffed it, and she ran it for 9 years. She became a stay-at-home mom after her children were born. She adored her kids. She was very active in their education from nursery school on. She was the PTA president for 2 years, the children's school, and her participation continued till after the children enrolled in Athenian School in Danville. She was a devoted member of the San Ramon Presbyterian Church, was active in their book club and prayer groups, and in recent years, she returned to work and was a valued employee at PepsiCo. Those of you, many of you know, and many of you participated, that dozens and many co-workers and friends helped sustain Lynn over these last 2.5 years in the course of her illness. From providing meals and house cleaning to accompanying her to treatments to visiting with her after she transitioned to hospice care. My family writes that it was your constancy that was a true blessing. Lynn's family will never forget the kindness that was extended to her. We give names and we give dates and we give places, because we all live in names and dates and places. We're all connected to names and dates and places. For every name mentioned, for every place, there is, as it were, a rippling effect of the goodness and kindness that Lynn Sohn was, the communities in which she dwelt. We sat here not so long ago, as I interviewed her about how she and Faith was dealing with her circumstances and the disease that she was battling. The rippling effects of her dialogue and her honesty and her integrity with how she faced this was powerful for this congregation, for many of you sitting here. So thank you. We have some pictures been put together in the form of a small film. So let's look at Lynn Sohn in these pictures. You can imagine what it was like to put that together, huh? Look at those pictures and those events and those places, those family, friends. How powerful. Pictures, snapshots are very powerful in these moments, but you have stories. You have stories. There's a specific request by Lynn that we provide time for those stories. Time for you to share perhaps an encounter, an experience, laughter, serious, that happened in your life, in your dialogue, something you may want to say. Everything you say is deeply treasured by the family and held to be thought about and reflected on. So every story is appreciative. And I know for some that may be very difficult. It's hard in this setting to do that, but if you can muster it up, it would just be wonderful. So what we're going to do is not make you come up here because nobody wants to stand, but I am going to ask Paul if you would come. If you would like to say something, because it's really hard to hear over there from over here if you're not on a microphone. So Paul will hold the mic. Don't take the mic from Paul. He will hold the mic, and he'll let you speak into it. And then, so if you have something, if you just raise your hand, Paul will come right on over to you, right here.
Hi, my name is Shannon. I was Lynn's sister-in-law, and I live in Las Vegas, and for those of us who were had miles between us, how we had our weekly email updates, and she always ended it with a scripture. And it was in those scriptures and through her faith that helped me cope being far away and not being with her. And as she passed a few weeks ago, I just felt the Lord speak to my heart and say, carry on her faith. It was just actually shortly after she passed, and probably many of us were in church at that time. And when Andy told me, I just felt God say, carry on her faith that she had.
Thank you.
I'm a friend of Lynn's, and I've known her about 10 years now. We served on some committees together in town for youth, and it's a privilege. She asked me to share a few words at her memorial. When I asked her what she would like me to share, in typical Lynn fashion, she got a big grin on her face, and she said, well, I'm not planning on being there, so you can share whatever you'd like. But I pressed her a little bit, and she gave me a few ideas. First of all, to Jeff and to Missy, I hope you realize how proud your mother is of you and how much she loves you. She would brag about you all the time, and I'm sure she's in heaven right now bragging about you too. She'd mention your giftedness, your uniqueness, and your hearts. And she knows that you'll continue to make her proud. To her brother Lee, I was teasing with Lynn. He's been so faithful and present with her in the last 2.5 years that I was teasing Lynn that I'm not Catholic, but I was planning on calling Pope Benedict to put Lee in for canonization for sainthood. Lee, seriously, your presence, your help, your support, your humor, your steadfastness has help Lynn be strong and fight this battle courageously with dignity and with grace. To Lynn's family, to her mom, to her friends, to her extended church family, who helped her emotionally and tangibly and supported her and the kids over the last 2.5 years, what a wonderful demonstration of love and sacrifice. You know, it is not easy for Lynn to ask for help. She's more of a giver than a receiver. So this has been a real growth step for her to be able to receive the support and the help. And then just a couple of personal reflections. Lynn helped me to learn more about my faith as I watched her become stronger in her faith over the last couple of years. And I, like probably most of you, greatly admired her positive attitude and her amazing sense of humor. Whenever I hear or use the phrase, well, anyways, I will think of Lynn Soane. And whenever I see purple irises, I'll think of her as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there someone else?
Okay, where am I at here?
Hi there, I'm Claire Ann, and that's my sister Jenna, and we wanted to say that we're going to miss our second mommy, even though she's not really truly gone. She'll always be with us. And I wanted to share in her being our second mommy. When my mom was pregnant with my sister and she figured out that she was pregnant, she took the test. Lynn and her family lived across the street, so she ran across the street. She tells this story all the time. She ran across the street with the pregnancy test, flipping out, and told Lynn, and the two of them celebrated and everything, and soon Jenna was born. And she was the last of the playgroup kids to come hang out, and I will always remember all the camping trips and sitting around the fire, and she had such a pretty smile. I'll remember that. So farewell, goodbye, Lynn, but never truly gone. We'll see you again someday.
Thank you. Is there anybody else?
Yeah, I'm a member of the church here. I recall just a few months ago when my wife was, again, not in church because of her illness, Lynn reaching out in her compassion to us as she was battling through everything herself to find out how we were doing. And that's remarkable to me. Thank you.
Yes. Okay, Zeus, you can't see me. I'm under here. I need the mic.
Hi, I'm Tori Hamm, and Mrs. Sohn was our Girl Scout leader, and a better one we could not ask for. She was like a second mother to all of us, and through all her effort, she helped every single one of us grow, and I'm so thankful to have her in our life.
Thank you. Is there someone else?
I'm Susie. I'm Lynn's sister-in-law. I actually don't know what memory to share of Lynn. I have so many. But I think the thing that stands out most in my mind is how much she welcomed me when I first came to California. And she was newly married to Andy, and she just enfolded me into her family. And I feel so grateful for that and so grateful for the chance to be Jeff and Marissa's aunt.
My name is Scott Gerbert, and I met Lynn about 10 years ago working on PTA efforts at Montevideo School and with the school district. And as I was sitting here with Kim Gallagher and listening to Dave talk about Lynn, I could not repeat what David said and say it any better. My memory of Lynn that stands out most for me is Kim reminded me just now that Kim and Lynn and I were sitting in my office with our feet up, trying to think of ways that we could support young people in this community. And Lynn and Kim and I came up with an idea for a community fair where families could find out about activities for youth and families for over the summer. And I think the memory I have of Lynn most vividly is how she had the uncanny ability to make me think it was my idea. And it didn't matter whether it was the community fair or any of the 15 other things we came up with. I always felt like it was my idea, and she always said, go ahead. That's a great idea, Scott. Go with it. And then she would always be there to support me. So that's my memory.
Thank you. Is there anybody else?
They say that the fear of public speaking is the strongest fear people have, but I'm more fear of facing Lynn and saying why I didn't get up and say what I promised I would say. As you know, Missy and Jeff, your mom's fierce, so I'm going to go ahead and rely on my notes here. So my name is Carrie. I met Lynn and Jay and Lori when they were just pups in their teens. Me too. and I was initiated into the exuberance of the Hine family holidays, and I have lived to tell the tale. So Lynn's faith was in evidence even in her teens, and over the years, she simply grew in graciousness and faithfulness. When we reconnected in recent years, it was those qualities that struck me the most, along with her utter ferocity and devotion as a mother. Jeff and Marissa, you already know the tenderness and love of a fiercely terrific mother. And you already know something about your mom's humility, directness, and presence. So here's an example you may not know. In addition to crazy Christmases, your mom and I had some things in common. Sisters in faith, with a huge fondness for each other. A fondness for music, and for music about faith, especially hymns specifically. So these past few months, I'd sit with a hymnal on my lap and flip through for our favorites. It was like DJ time. She'd say, "How about El Shaddai?" And I'd say, "Can't sing it." So she'd sing it. So you probably heard us sing. She was soft, and I was loud and mostly off key, but really sincere. We were really happy to be into those songs, really happy. And then we would pray, always the Lord's Prayer. One night I shared with Lynn a lovely little prayer that I will share with you momentarily. But first I want to tell you something about it. This prayer is a little archaic in the language. It's very, very, very King James. There's formality here in addressing one's maker. It's thou instead of you. It's thine instead of yours. And there's also this word in here that you don't hear very much. The word is sukkah. Anybody ever heard it? Mm-hmm. King James? Anybody? Good. Okay. Because she hadn't heard it either. But sukkah means help in a difficult situation or relief from distress. So we prayed this prayer that I'm about to tell you, and then we said goodnight. The next night I walked in. Lynn looked me straight in the eye. What does sukkah mean? I know, right? She didn't know, so she asked. No preamble, no apology, no I should know that. She just said, "What does it mean?" So I told her, it means relief, aid, and it also suggests comfort and consolation. Her response is not going to surprise anybody. Her response was, "Cool." So she asked me to add this prayer to our routine and to write it down for her, which I did. So here's the prayer for you, for your sukkah, with Lynn in mind and in our hearts, always, with hopes for you to know comfort, and with a smile, and with much, much fondness for Lenny, and gratitude for her giant, gorgeous, absolutely stellar faithfulness for Lynn, who was herself very cool. So hear the prayer. Thy name is my healing, O my God. Remembrance of thee is my remedy. Nearness to thee is my hope. Love for thee is my companion. Thy mercy to me is my peace and my succor in both this world and the world to come. Thou art verily the all-bountiful, the all-knowing, the all-wise.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there somebody else?
My name is Charlie Hamm, and I met Lynn with my children's efforts with the Girl Scouts and becoming friends with her kids and meeting at Montevideo. I started my firm in 2003, and Lynn was looking for an opportunity to go back to work, and so she joined our firm. And the one great thing about Lynn was there wasn't a task you couldn't ask her to do that she wouldn't have a great smile on her face, take it with 2,000% effort, get it done, bring it back, and just still be smiling. She set up all of our company standards for our letterheads and our transmittals and our bookkeeping and accounts and everything else. And every day I go through and use those same documents that Lynn created. And it's awesome. They're flawless. They work effectively. They keep going. So for me, a memory of Lynn is every day I operate the firm that I own. So she was a wonderful person. When she had gotten to the point where the things that we were doing had sort of become mundane and boring, PepsiCo had an opportunity for her to join. One gracious thing about Lynn was as she came and said, I want to move on. Are you going to be okay? And I told her, it's time for you to soar. It's time for you to go in a spot where you can do what you want to do and excel way past what we've done. And she went off, and I'm happy that she did. And so I've been very grateful to have Lynn in my life and reminded every day. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hi, my name is Olivia. I'm Missy's friend, and I've only known Lynn for about 3 years since I moved here, but in that time, I've gotten to know Lynn, and she is just an amazing person. I think it was a few weeks before her 50th birthday, my mother and I came over to give her a few gifts, and we brought them in, and we set them down. 10 minutes later, they were untouched, and then 10 minutes later, we were like, Lynn, these are for you. And she's like, for me? What? She's just so selfless. She is always, from the moment that I met her, I've always seen her just be, she's totally there for her son and daughter. And she's such a strong person. I've seen her over the past 3 years, and I can't describe. She's just an amazing person. And I'm so glad she's been an amazing mother, like I know through Missy, for the past 3 years. And it's just, even as she goes downhill, she's always there for Missy. I know that. It was just so heartwarming. So
thank you. Thank you.
My name is Angel Mario, and I attend church here, and that's how I know Lynn. I got to meet her several years ago when our kids were in junior high and up at Houseboats, and the parents get to go up one night and see a program that the kids put on. And so I was just lucky enough to wind up in a carpool where Lynn was driving, and I have known her ever since. And the thing that I'm sitting here thinking is that I've just always been so amazed watching her walk through her life and difficult circumstances, some that we have shared in common, and her amazing ability to find the positive in everything and to live through really hard circumstances without bitterness. And I just know that I will live out the rest of my life differently for having known her.
Thank you. Is there anyone else?
Hi, I'm Diane Knudsen, and I met Lynn at Montevideo School. She loved to volunteer. I loved to volunteer. Worked in the classroom together and the library. And I think, well, Lee asked for everybody to send emails in, and it was funny because my girlfriend Mary and I had the same email, so I think I speak for a lot of us here. Lynn was working registration, what else is new, for Montevideo. Most of us parents were looking to the relief of having our kids back in school, and I see Lynn crying, and I go, Lynn, what are you crying for? And she says, I just don't want my kids to go back to school. I love it when they're home. I just want to be with them all the time. And it made me pause and think and appreciate my kids even more. Thanks, Lynn.
Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else? Okay. Thank you so much. One more.
I just heard the oh no's. I'm Jay. I met Lynn 50 years ago, and I'm a brother. And this is off the cuff, so bear with me. I want to share two things. First, Lynn's sense of humor. We're not laughing enough. And this happened Friday night before Lynn died. I'm sitting there with Lee, and Lee was, Lee, you are a saint. Truly are. And we're sitting there doing small talk, sitting next to Lynn, and she's resting. And I understand that she listens, paid attention to her visitors, and interacted when she could, offered some insights when she could, shared thoughts when she could. So Lee and I had been doing a little bit of small talk, talking about different things and brotherly stuff. And Lynn perked up, and Lee closer, true story, looked him squared in the eye and said, eventually, you're going to have to become a drop back to sleep. become a, Lee closer, become a, and as gently as he could, jostled her, please, become a, no. She was tired, she fell back to sleep. You're going to have to wait for her to finish that, and you're on your own. The last thought is I'm thankful to Lynn for the Sohn family. I have a friend in Andy. I have a niece and a nephew that I adore. And I tried to think of why she fought so hard. I'm a little bit more privy to her struggles than some, and others of you probably are aware of the struggles she went through. And I tried to understand where she came from and why she worked so hard to fight this illness when it was such a dire prognosis. And she is a person of faith, as I am not. But then it occurred to me, having a son and a daughter, why she fought for another moment, to have another moment with you two. She had so many splendid moments with her friends and her family, but she fought so hard to have another moment with her kids, and I know why.
So. Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Did you want to leave?
I'm Saint Lee. I needed a joke. I'm grateful for that. I really am curious what I am to become. just to need a little clearer direction. So this is the part where we just want to say thanks. This is first off to the professionals, Dr. Peter Wong and the nurses and staff at the Valley Medical Oncology Consultants. They were caring, compassionate, and honest. Dr. Wong never, so when Lynn was first diagnosed, somebody gave her a prognosis, which she beat. To nobody's surprise, Dr. Wong, it was always like the next 5 days. You know, there was never any kind of time frame that he gave her, and I was always grateful for that. Starting in late December, we benefited from the services of Hope Hospice. We were grateful for that. It was really amazing. It was like the medications were all taken care of. It's just like this thing happened and we were good. And Lynn went from, a small employer to Pepsi. And the really cool thing about that was the health plan and the disability. She was on disability longer than she worked for them. God bless them. Then in March, we went to another level, and I really want to thank the Tri-Valley Personal Home Care Services. When we finally appreciated the need for their services, they arrived in short order. Lynn had a weekend where she pretty well collapsed. And on Monday, we were on the phone, and this woman, Gina, showed up and told us the deal. And we said, cool, where do I sign? And then a couple hours later, she came back with some staff and said, are these folks okay? And 2 hours later, they came back and started. So within a few hours, Lynn had the care she needed. And while friends and family were doing the best they could, we didn't have a clue. And it was nice to have somebody that knew what they were doing in the room. And to the friends. I'm avoiding names because this is going to be like one of those Academy Awards things where everybody's talking the next day. Why didn't he mention Betty? Who's Betty? Anyway. So my first recollection of Lynn's involvement, and I talked to the person involved and clarified the players. I remember in Thanksgiving 2007, some elves showed up and decorated her porch. And that was the first time I cried after the diagnosis. I thought, oh, cool, my little sister's got some friends. Little did I know. So I think it's one thing to show up for 6 weeks or a month or whatever, and that's all great. But for 2.5 years, you stood by her with meals and trips to the doctor's appointments and prayers and birthday cards and visits, and especially during March and April when those visits were really important for her and kept her connected, you stood by her, and I'm very grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Lee. The book of Revelation sets the context for the song that Lynn had also requested that we sing, one of those hymns that was sung, I'm sure. Revelation chapter 4 reads this way. After this I looked, and there before me, a door was standing open in heaven. And the voice I had first heard speaking to me like a trumpet said, come up here, and I will show you what must take place after this. At once I was in the Spirit, and there before me was a throne in heaven with someone sitting on it. And the one who sat there had the appearance of jasper and carnelian. A rainbow resembling an emerald encircled the throne. Surrounding the throne were 24 other thrones, and seated on them were 24 elders. They were dressed in white and had crowns of gold on their head. From the throne came flashes of lightning, rumblings, and peals of thunder. Before the throne, seven lamps were blazing. These are the seven spirits of God. Also before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. In the center, around the throne, were four living creatures. They were covering their eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion. The second was like an ox. The third had a face like a man. The fourth was like a flying eagle. Each of the four living creatures had six wings and was covered with eyes all around, even under his wings. Day and night, they never stopped saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory, honor, and thanks to him who sits on the throne and who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. They lay their crowns before the throne and say, you are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their existence. Holy, holy, holy. Would you stand with me as we sing this song that Lynn had asked us to?
Holy, holy, holy.
I asked Lynn if she wanted me to say something, and like we've already heard, the answer was yes. And I asked her what she wanted me to say, and the answer was similar as already given. I wanted to talk a few moments to you about hope, because Lynn Sohn personified hope. None of us think that one could face this kind of difficulty that she did and the sense of loss that she saw as impending without having gone through times of deep, dark places, without having been in that night. And yet at the same time, coincidental to those struggles, there was in her, the depth of her soul, always this issue of hope. This is a hope, I think, that is really different than we often think about it, because we sort of use hope as a wishful thought, kind of whistling in the dark. We use hope as a word that means our earnest expectation, our best desire for something to be. But when the Bible uses hope, it doesn't mean that. It means a radically confident knowledge that which you hope for is coming to pass. It's not wishful thinking, it's a confidence of the truth of it. That can seem somewhat disconcerting in light of what has happened, in the light that we're here. Did Lynn Sohn hope to be healed? Well, certainly she did. Certainly she desired, with everything within her, as we have heard, to spend more time with family, more time with her children, more time in enjoying the life God had given her. More time worshiping, more time serving people. Of course, that was the deepest desire of her heart. But there can be a distinction between deep, deep desires and confident hope. The truth is, the scripture says something that years ago when I was growing up, a group put into music and played on the radio and it became a hit. That to everything there's a season. Borrowing from Scripture, in fact, borrowing from one of the more interesting books of Scripture, Ecclesiastes. The word says there's a time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And because Scripture never tries to cover anything, it just very first time it speaks of, grabs us, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill. A time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones, a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. We read that, and some of the things on that list we don't know. Even if we give in to the eventuality of the death that comes to all of us, we wonder about the time for some of these other things. The scripture's reflecting, especially in a book like this of Ecclesiastes, kind of this wisdom that just looks and sees the reality of what is taking place and says, I see these in the seasons of people's life. I sat here, as I mentioned, to start with, and right here in this spot on a little platform and interviewed Lynn Sohn when she was very desirous of healing and very much seemed to be, and if you went and followed, Lee, the log that you had sort of put online for us all to partake in, we can see the progression of anticipation and good reports and good things. And then as you go down through that list, you see the what becomes, in a sense, a lamentation, but not an empty lamentation, but a coming to terms, a recognition that maybe there is a time for everything. And trying to figure out how that all worked. Was her hope disappointed? I don't think so. It is true that, as we always anticipate, things don't go. And even the scriptures say that in Christ coming, everything was put under his feet. And yet the author of Hebrews says, yet at present we do not see everything subject to him, but we see Jesus. What we see Jesus. The psalmist prayed this, "May integrity and uprightness protect me because my hope is in you." And I think for the person of faith, for the person who has reached out to the grace of God, that that hope transcends the greatest desires that we have. So that even the best of our desires, recognizing the temporal nature of life itself and the difficulties that can besiege us and the joys that engulf us, that for all of us in this chronos, this time that marches on, these seasons come and go, as much as we love one another, we know there comes a time. Our greatest desire is to be present now in that. But our greater hope is that we see Jesus. Because in seeing Jesus, we move past the temporal and we move into eternity. That is exactly what the scripture says. The writer of Hebrews says we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. And it enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. That's theological language he's using to go back to concepts most of us don't think about. But it really, in a simple way, means this, that our hope is anchored in heaven. An anchor without any kind of rope or chain attached is somewhat useless. So that rope falls down to us and we hold fast to a hope that is anchored past the moment. No matter how significant or profound the moments themselves may be, there's an even more significant, profound truth about who we've been created to be in Christ. There are a couple of guys in the Old Testament who are about to be thrown into a fiery furnace because they wouldn't do obeisance to an idol that was set up on some field. The threat was, if you don't, we'll just kill you and throw you into the furnace. And this was their response. O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not. And they go on to say that their faithfulness to God is more essential than their momentary issue of this life. I think Lin Soane had exactly that kind of hope and faith. And all my dialogues with her and my discussions and in listening to so many around her, this constant desire for healing, for wellness, and yet a hope that was grounded in eternity. The word says that eternity has been planted in our hearts. It takes a lot to push away that sense of eternity that dwells within us. A lot of work to shove that out of our lives. She did not. She embraced the very real present and loved you so much and desired with everything in her to be with you. You know that. But she had a hope also anchored that moved her past the moment into the very presence of, but we see Jesus. That's the hope that sustains her, the great desire that sustained her, and a greater hope that now has radically healed her in the sense that is beyond what we could anticipate. A healing in a time today does not stave off that which comes to all of us, but for the moment. This faith of Lin Soane, this absolute hope, the absolute rooted certainty of her Redeemer, and of her life in eternity before God Almighty. It's the hope that sustains many of us here today, and it is the testimony of her life, as each one of you are, as each one of us here is. Well, I would agree that there hasn't been enough laughter. I would agree that Lynn Sohn was a person who had that. In one of the pictures, Lee, that you had put up there, that she was dancing with a Mad Hatter. Sort of hard to see it on this here, but she was looking at the camera with this look of like, are you kidding? It was this wonderful, whimsical, joyful look. That's imprinted on every one of us here, that look. That's imprinted on us. The joy, the whimsy, the celebration. That's why she said we can't do Amazing Grace. Too sad, she said. Too many places, too sad. Good songs. Songs about the holiness of God. Songs about strength and joy and hope and eagles soaring. Well, you get to soar the rest of this day basking in the life shared with you in grace and mercy of her. You get to share in the stories you're going to continue to tell. You're going to share in the experiences you've had and you will continue to carry with you past this day. Because her stories are stories of eternity and they resonate within you. Deep, Jeremiah the prophet said, deep calls to deep. The depth of her life calls out to the depth of yours. Join in that everlasting chorus of praise and adoration. So again, I want to thank you for being here. I want to thank you for sharing your stories. The family especially wants to thank you and appreciate your time here. So we're about to leave here at this moment. We know that some of you, we had to get you in, out of the sun. And if you would continue to just sign that book just to let the family know before you would leave today that you were here. Some of you may not have gotten a program because we ran out. So many of you came. I think some more were printed during our time together here. Yes, there are. So if you would stand with me, please. I would like to give you a benediction. There's never enough time in a gathering like this, Lord, in which we feel we've given enough. How do we narrow down the life of a person in but a few moments together? And of course the answer is we can't. We can't. There are many here who would have shared stories but for their own hurt or their own fear that they would not be able to finish those stories because of emotions. Now, Father, I pray you continue to soothe their hearts. Your word says that those who mourn are comforted. So comfort those who mourn. There are many, though, that will leave this place and the limitation of our time will be nothing because the continued stories will go. So, Father, this hope that Lynn Sohn had planted in us in Christ, this heart of eternity planted in us for this family, for these friends, may your grace cover them and may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, overshadow them. We thank you. In the name of our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you for being here today.